Henk Naven singing Die Uhr with Hans Eisackers at the piano, a song by Karl Löwe, ending today's lunchtime concert here on Radio 3. Tomorrow, as always, we're going to be live at Wigmore Hall in London to hear the Doric Quartet in action tomorrow. They'll be playing string quartets by Haydn and Schumann. So that's live at Wigmore Hall tomorrow lunchtime, just after the 1 o'clock news here on Radio 3. And don't forget that we're live in concert on Sunday evenings now as well on Radio 3. Tonight we're going to be in Nottingham at the Royal Concert Hall to hear the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra playing Mahler's Sixth Symphony and to begin the fifth of Mozart's violin concertos. The soloist will be Henning Kragerud and the orchestra will be conducted by Stefan Deneuve. Radio 3, live in concert at 7:30 tonight.
Men in the poorest part of Glasgow have life expectancy 54. 54. And in the richest part of Glasgow, 82. Isn't it incredible?
Free Thinking 2013.
What's absolutely remarkable is that wherever we look, we find a social gradient in health.
On BBC Radio 3, the first night of our thought-provoking Festival of Ideas includes the Free Thinking Lecture, delivered by the renowned medical researcher Sir Michael Marmot.
Finally, ultimately, what I'd like to achieve is for everybody to be in the position where they can take control over their lives.
Friday night at 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Next this afternoon on Radio 3 at its new regular time of Sunday at 2 o'clock, the Early Music Show. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Well, forget any prejudices from your school days. That's how the humble recorder can sound when it's in expert hands. That was Bach's chorale prelude, Liebste Jesu, Wir sind hier, played by Ensemble Cor de Vento. And the soloist was the young Dutch recorder player, Erik Buschraff. In recent years, he's proved himself to be quite a force on the early music scene, extraordinarily versatile and technically assured, performing in everything from small chamber groups to orchestras. And so today we're devoting the entire programme to him. He'll be chatting about his career and his repertoire and how he also is crossing boundaries by exploring 21st century music for the recorder. Boskraft's debut CD, though, was firmly rooted in the 17th century, with music by the Dutch composer Jacob van Eyck. An unlikely candidate for a hit record, you might think, but it sold thousands of copies, and we're going to be hearing one of the tracks from it later on. First, though, the BBC recorded Eric in a series of mini-concerts he gave in July with the harpsichord virtuoso Mahan Esfahani. The performances took place over a single afternoon in the legendary Castle Howard in North Yorkshire, part of the Rydale Festival. But before we hear the first of our highlights, here's a little insight as to how Eric came to choose the instrument that was to make his career.
As many kids, I started playing the recorder at quite a young age. I think it was around 8 or 9. One big difference is that I didn't stop playing the recorder. Many children start playing as an upbeat to what they sometimes call a real instrument. What kept me going on the recorder is difficult to say. It is quite a mystery why people play a certain instrument. My brother also played the recorder and we played a lot of duets, so it was really great fun. I reckon it was mostly fun. I played for hours and hours a day without noticing that time went by. I think an instrument also chooses you instead of you the instrument. There's this scene in a Harry Potter movie where the wand chooses Harry Potter instead of Harry Potter choosing the wand. An instrument chooses you and you don't choose the instrument.
Recorder player Eric Boskraft with harpsichordist Mahan Esfahani recorded live at Castle Howard in North Yorkshire in July as part of the Rydale Festival. They were playing A Ground After Scotch Humour by Nicola Matthäus, a 17th century Neapolitan violinist and composer who settled in London in the early 1670s and quickly became the talk of the town with his astonishing technique and not to mention his exotic ways. Eric describes that piece as a kind of written-down improvisation and says that although he's not actually improvising himself, the idea is to make it sound as though he's inventing it as he goes along. Being Dutch, Eric comes from a very long-established early music tradition, not only in terms of performance, but also through the many influential composers who came from the Netherlands. And we're going to hear from one of them next. It's a sonata by Unico Wilhelm van Wassenaer, a high-flying Dutch diplomat and soldier whose surviving portrait shows him looking very serious in a full suit of armour. Perhaps it was thought unseemly for such an important fellow to dabble in music at all, because his set of Concerti Armonici wasn't published under his own name. In fact, for years, the pieces were thought to have been written by Pergolesi and, as such, were later used by Stravinsky as the basis for his ballet Pulcinella. In 1980, though, after some exhaustive musical detective work, they were finally and correctly attributed to Wassenaer. And just 10 years later, more compositions came to light, three pretty sonatas. one of which we're going to hear in a moment, again recorded at the Rydale Festival concert. Here's Eric Buscroft again to tell us more about this mystery man.
Van Wassenaar was a count from the 18th century, and he was from Holland, so it naturally has my interest. Apart from that, it is also good music. We tend to hear the same pieces over and over again in concerts, also very often on radio shows. So I think it is very interesting to dive into the more unknown composers and to find some unknown jewels in there. I mean, very often it has a reason that a composer is unknown, simply because the quality of the repertoire is not that fantastic. But very often you can find beautiful pieces of music by composers that have long been overshadowed by others. I think Van Wassenaar is a fantastic composer that has a unique style, and since he didn't have to write for any patron, he had money enough himself, his music is very free. He could just do whatever he wanted, and I think that's very interesting. Thank you.
Sonata in F by Vassanaya, a highlight from a concert given in last July's Rydale Festival in Yorkshire by recorder player Eric Boscroft and harpsichordist Mahan Esfahani. Well, we're going to leave Rydale for a moment and hear another track from one of Eric's CDs. It's a concerto by Bach, surely the composer that every musician needs to tackle successfully before he gets his early music spurs. And that certainly includes recorder players, although, as Eric explains, that often means the originals need to be adapted to suit the instrument's range and character.
Bach has been very important for me. He's somewhere between humankind and the divine. His music is so perfect in any sense, and so above humanity that it is hardly describable, I think. It's perfect in every sense. I remember after hearing the Mass in B minor live as a teenager, I decided to become a professional musician. And I listened a lot over and over to the Brandenburg Concertos. I think they're very appealing to any teenager, actually. So when I thought of making a CD with concertos, I was really very motivated to make it a big success. I also studied musicology, so as I, you know, started doing my musicological homework around the concertos, I realized that the harpsichord concertos, as we know them today, are actually arrangements of Bach himself of earlier works. Some of those earlier works are instrumental pieces of cantatas or arias, and that led me to the idea of making concertos for the recorder. As such, to my belief, it is the first recording. There are previous recordings on oboe or on many other instruments, but Bach never wrote an oboe concerto either. So when you see an oboe concerto in a program, just be suspicious about it.
Eric Boscroft, and in the spirit of Bach's arrangements of his own works for various instruments, here's part of his D minor harpsichord concerto, which Eric arranged for the recorder. And as you'll hear, it's not for beginners.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping. And that was the third movement of Bach's Concerto in D minor, BWV 1059, played by Ensemble Cor de Vento and led by the recorder player Eric Boskroff, who's the subject of our programme today. It was a track from one of Eric's CDs, but we're going back now to the concert he gave last July at one of Yorkshire's great landmarks, Castle Howard, part of the Rydale Festival, and music by another of the most famous names of the Baroque, George Frederick Handel. Mind you, although he was almost an exact contemporary of Bach, according to Eric, Handel's music needs to be approached in quite a different way.
It is fantastic music, but Handel also leaves space for the performer, and he does that deliberately because he had to deal with divas, and Bach didn't. He didn't write any opera, so I think Bach's music is already perfect in itself, and as a performer, we have to strive to recreate that kind of perfection. And this is a totally different approach to Handel, to more performance-based music. I think there's really a big difference between architectonically constructed music, such as Bach and Palestrina, and more human music, like the ones of Telemann or Handel, where the performer is really important. And the performer has to add his necessary ornamentation and interpretation to make the music alive. The recorder sonatas by Handel are actually mini operas, in my opinion. He also uses arias that come from operas. An opera is one big communication with the audience about a musical story. He wrote them at the height of his fame as an opera composer. And the recorder was also used as an instrument to recreate the hits from the opera in an era where there's no CD or no MP3 to hear your favorite aria again. The recorder is really a mobile instrument that you can take anywhere where you can recreate your favorite pieces. In many ways, Handel's recorder sonatas can be seen as a collection of pieces from operas.
Thank you.
Handel's Sonata for Recorder and Continuo in B minor, played there by Eric Boscroff and Mahan Esfahani at this year's Rydale Festival, a concert given in the sumptuous surroundings of Castle Howard in North Yorkshire. Well, earlier on I mentioned that one of Eric's professional ambitions, if you like, is to carve out a new niche for the recorder as an instrument capable of playing new works from our own time. Our next piece he created in collaboration with the saxophone player Yuri Honing. It's based on music by Bach, but I'll let Eric explain.
Earlier this year, I released a CD called Hotel Terminus with Yuri Honing and a band. We decided to make an anti-virtuoso album, an album that didn't have solos where one of us would show off how fantastic fast we could play. So it became a very sad album by nature. And we chose the metaphor of the hotel. For many people, the hotel is a fun thing to go to and a place to relax. But for many musicians, it's actually more a place of loneliness, where you are awaiting your performance and you might get a little stressed and you're out of your normal environment. You can't cook something nice for yourself, stuff like that. So this CD is really an attempt to recreate that loneliness, and we decided to do that through little cells that we took from the Brandenburg Concertos by Bach. In fact, we took also one movement literally, and this is what happens in the piece Hyatt. Thank you. For me, the recorder is the voice that I can express myself best with, and regardless of any genre, I will always be looking for music that interests me, or actually musicians that interest me that I would like to work with, whether it is in improvisation, whether it is in reviving unknown early pieces, or whether it is in working with contemporary composers, in working in big settings, in small settings. I think as long as that is going on, I will always be shaping my own future with the recorder, but there's not something like a master plan that I have. There are little tendencies. For example, there hasn't been written a lot for the recorder in combination with symphonic orchestra, and that is one path that I'm following now. I'm now practicing Anna Meredith's new piece for a recorder and orchestra. I listened today to the MIDI version of that piece and trying to get into it and yeah, trying to connect to the style. I mean, nowadays, every composer has an own style. Another one is recorder and improvisation. There has been not so much done in this field. So I'm working a lot to also give it a voice in that field. For me, it doesn't matter whether the recorder is being viewed as popular or not. As long as I can do my projects with interesting people and people come to my concerts, that's fine. I'm not trying to be an evangelist for my instrument. If it works like that, then that's fine, but that's not my goal.
Recorder player Eric Busgraaf, who co-wrote and performed that piece, Hotel Terminus, inspired by the music of Bach. Well, it's back to more familiar early music show territory now. And another composer of the Baroque. We're going to hear a concerto in C major by Vivaldi. It's for an instrument he called the flautino, which we know better today as the smallest, well, almost the smallest, member of the recorder family, the high-pitched sopranino. So very close together are the holes that part of the challenge is to actually get your fingers to cover them accurately, especially in the fast passages. And this really shows off Eric Busgraaf's virtuosity to the full. Thank you.
Thank you.
the characteristic sound of the sopranino recorder, the tiny instrument that comes above the descant in the recorder family lineup. And even if you didn't hear my intro, perhaps you guessed the composer, because his style is so identifiable. It was Vivaldi's Concerto in C major for sopranino recorder, strings and continuo, played there by Ensemble Cor de Vento and soloist Eric Boschrov, who's been the subject of today's early music show. And I'm afraid that's almost all we've got time for, except this bonus piece, a little encore that just fits into our last few minutes. Earlier on, I mentioned one of Eric's CDs, which has become, in his own words, quite a surprise hit, flying off the shelves. So let's end the programme with a track from that disc by the blind Dutch recorder player Jacob van Eyck.
Music from Jacob van Eyck's collection of recorder pieces called Der Flötenlusthof, the flute's Garden of Delights. It was played by Eric Boschgraf, who was Lucy Skeepin's guest on this week's Early Music Show, and the programme was produced in Salford by Paul Frankel and Les Pratt. And you can download podcast versions of many of the previous editions of the programme by going to the Radio 3 website. Well, stay tuned for this week's edition of Choral Evensong, and it's choral music all the way this afternoon on Radio 3 from now until the evening. Here's Mary King.
There'll be sweet harmonies, the voices of angels, a 40th anniversary, and a panoply of fascinating vocal techniques on the choir today. Join me, Mary King, for music from Vivaldi, Lily Boulanger and Mendelssohn, and words and music from two of America's most influential musical voices, the a cappella group Sweet Honey in the Rock, and avant-garde composer Meredith Monk. And adding a rather less cerebral flavour, there's Vaughan Williams' colourful illustration of the earthy tapster Eleanor Rumming. That's all in the choir, straight after Choral Evensong, here on BBC Radio 3.
So yes, time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast from Blackburn Cathedral on Wednesday, live here on Radio 3. The canticles in A-flat were composed by Edmund Rubra in 1948, and the anthem, composed for the choir of Repton Preparatory School, is by Herbert Sumption's settings of words from Psalm 107, "They that go down to the sea in ships." The service opens now with Sicut Cevus, Palestrina's setting of words from Psalm 42. "Like as the hart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God." It's preceded by Meditation, also inspired by Psalm 42, which comes from Peter Herford's organ suite Laudate Dominum.
Welcome to Blackburn Cathedral, Lancashire's Anglican Cathedral. Most of you listening today will have visited this diocese, going to seaside towns such as Blackpool, St. Anne's, Morecambe, Fleetwood, and Lytham. Inland, there are the beautiful and tranquil river valleys of the Ribble and Hodder. The sea, the rivers and streams of the diocese play a significant part in the formation of our spirituality. This evening, we focus on some of those themes through words and music. Dearly beloved, the scripture moves us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble